Hey there, I'm Wendy Vaughn, sales success coach. Now, they call me the queen of predictable sales results. Well, because the easy formulas I share create sustainable, predictable results for my clients. And I am so glad that you've tuned in to today's episode of the Selling Made Easy show. Because, well, this show is all about inspiration. Not just in demystifying the client getting process known as sales, but also in peering through the lens of guest entrepreneurs who are blazing their own trails. And those trails have probably included a few unexpected roadblocks, maybe even having to overcome fears or blocks about selling. Now, I believe everyone has their zone of genius, their superpower that's a gift to others, including you. Now, for me, after, 22 years of outperforming my peers in sales results, it's almost an X-ray vision that I have when it comes to finding and fixing any sales blind spots within entrepreneurs that are unknowingly causing potential clients to slip away. And with today's guest, her zone of genius is her ability to lend hope to people who are feeling despair and hopelessness so that they can feel empowered to move through their grief and find purpose for their pain. So I'm super excited to introduce Shirley Thiessen. Now, Shirley is the founder of Corner Bend, which is a grief ministry. She creates grief resources that serve as a playbook of best practices, because most people don't know what's helpful to say or do for their grieving friends. And for many, it feels awkward, so they do nothing. But no one should have to grieve alone. Now, from Shirley's personal experience of losing her own son only 12 days after his wedding, she wrote the book, The Little Black Funeral Dress, Five Things I Wish I Had Known About Grief. Now, with simple yet effective strategies, Shirley helps people gain confidence and learn how to express empathy and compassion in ways that feel life-saving to the griever. Well, welcome, Shirley. I am so excited to have you as my guest today.
Hello, Wendy. I am delighted to be here with you. I look forward to the conversation.
Yeah, and you know, I just love how you're really helping make such a profound difference for people in that they're gaining the skills and ability to provide that compassion and support that they really want to give to those who are grieving. So I can't wait to hear more about this and the work you're now doing.
Well, I'm very passionate about it. And so I really, I'm thrilled to have this chance to talk with you.
Yeah. In bringing you into the show here, Shirley, I shared this tragic news about the loss of your son. And I'm sure that really provided the catalyst or the inspiration for the work you're doing. But can you share a little bit more about, you know, the tipping point that prompted you to start your own grief coaching practice?
Yes, for sure. Well, first, I'd like to invite you back into the year 2012. My husband and I have a son, Jordan, and a daughter, Chantel, and they were young adults at the time in university. And you know, that year, I just knew it was going to be a fantastic year. First of all, our son got engaged to a beautiful woman, and in the April of that year, they both graduated from university, another major milestone. Mm-hmm. And then to our delight, he found a career job in our city. And so instead of looking all across the country, we knew he would be living nearby. We were so excited. And then the wedding in October of 2012 was just a beautiful event. And, you know, my husband and I, we were kind of high-fiving each other, and our son was like officially launched, like most parents do, right? We invest so much time, energy, love, prayer, and money into this kid. And now he was, you know, gainfully employed, happily married, and on his own. And so my husband and I, we went off to California for a holiday to celebrate. But 4 days into that vacation, a police officer came to the door of our condo. It was my worst nightmare. In just a few minutes of meeting an officer, we learned that our son, 23 years of age, married 12 days, had been killed in a workplace accident. Mm. And it gutted us.
Wow. So tragic. Yes.
And the thing that I immediately noticed was I was not prepared for grief. Not that we ever could be fully prepared, but like I was so naive. For example, I did not realize the physical things that grief would do to me. There was like an emotional concussion. Suddenly, I lost my taste buds. I had short-term memory loss. Lights were too bright. Noises were too loud. I couldn't track with people in conversations. I was panicked by just even the physical things, never mind the emotional trauma. Mm-hmm. And so the first problem that I noticed is like, we live in this death denying, grief avoidant society.
Right.
And no one talks about grief or what to expect. And so that was kind of the first tipping point, was we need to talk about this, have candid conversations.
Knowingness of how to even bring into, you know, acknowledgement and how to just start the conversation in a way that is supportive versus shows ignorance. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the first step, obviously. And so, yeah, I, you know, this tragic loss impacts people in ways that those who have not had a loss can't even begin to understand.
Exactly. And the other thing that it exposed was I was noticing that some people would respond to our loss with kind of platitudes that I would use or for my grieving friends before my son died. And now I realized that I was on the other side of that, that those platitudes were not helpful. Mm-hmm. They were actually quite wounding. Mm. Anything like that starts with at least just made me bristle.
Right.
Like, at least you have a daughter. Mm. Well, at least you had your son for 23 years. I mean, that's true, but that is not helpful. It actually makes me think that there's supposed to be this silver lining that, you know, they're trying to cheer me up. Well, at least, and I did that. And now I realized, oh my goodness, that is not helpful. And so that was the other tipping point, realizing that, these platitudes are just perpetuated unless someone will correct us, because I didn't know that was not helpful. Mm-hmm. But then the last thing was that I realized I did have some friends that seemed to be so intuitive to know how to come alongside in meaningful ways. And I just marveled at what they did, like the creativity and how they walked with us. But essentially, they did four things. They listened to our story again and again. They acknowledged our loss. They validated our fears and our grief. They prayed for us, and they were patiently present. I mean, grief is not a short-term event. It is forever, and it will soften over time, but it is never that we will forget our son and go, well, that's done.
Right.
He is someone we will always miss. And so I realized that not everyone had these caring friends who I called hope heroes, because they essentially lent us their hope when ours was leaking out. So I realized that a lot of other grievers did not have these caring hope heroes as we did. And I'm like, that's not fair. So all these problems that I kind of identified were the culmination of the tipping point that made me have this indignation or discontent that this is not okay.
Right.
This is not okay. And so this is a problem that I feel I want to help solve.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those things coming
together. It takes to then want to take a stand and make that change. I mean, that takes some tremendous courage.
Well, I mean, it didn't immediately happen. It took a few years after my son died, but it was a slow kind of boiling thing. It just grew into me that I could not ignore. And it just grew and grew until finally it's like, okay, that's it. I've got to do something. And so that's what led me to Corner Bend Ministries.
Yeah. And like I said, I mean, just to take a stand for the fact it's not okay, you know, having gone through this or having to face with this tragic loss and realizing, oh my gosh, so many people just, they want to support, they want to provide that, you know, right way of supporting me, but they don't have a clue, you know, and we feel awkward and, you know, lack confidence And certainly that isn't the place that, you know, those who are wanting to be supportive of somebody grieving, they don't want to be in that position. So the work that you do is just fills such a huge need. And I know, like you've mentioned, it took several years for you to actually create this ministry. So how long have you had this ministry, and has the business mission or vision evolved during that time?
Well, we've been going for about 2.5 years now. And I have to say, the vision, it's pretty narrow. It's all about grief and grief education. And it hasn't really changed. It is still about helping to ease the burden of loss for the griever and to equip their friends to be caring grief companions, to be hope heroes. So those are really the two focuses. And it's remained that.
Yeah. Now, have you always worked with individuals to support them? Or is this, have you broadened to, you know, say the business sector or, you know, corporations or that kind of thing?
Yes, I have with churches, with faith communities, with businesses, insurance agents, financial planners. Actually, the company that my son worked at, they had me do a YouTube grief presentation for their staff across Canada, as a professional development kind of thing. And so I really appreciate those businesses that take this seriously, because there is no one for whom grief education is not relevant.
Right. Yeah. Well, I know when I lost my mother, she passed, is what I prefer to say, is, you know, in reaching out to certain entities that, you know, she had a doctor's appointment coming up and she had various things on her calendar that I had to reach out to those people. You know, they were businesses, and just you're facing with, you know, beyond the friends and feeling, you know, the comfort of our family and close-knit friends, you know, having to reach out to companies to let them know of, you know, she's not going to be attending her cataract surgery, and just how they respond is something that, again, it falls onto the shoulders of not knowing the best steps to take to respond within a business protocol. So, and, you know, obviously in, you know, building this business, besides the fact that you are dealing with your own grief, but have there been any big roadblocks or challenges that you've had to overcome along the way and in building this grief ministry?
Well, one thing I have kind of bumped into is that while people, especially in, say, business organizations, they will acknowledge that grief is something that is important to educate, because empathy, it really grows trust in an organization. Vulnerability and compassion, they boost productivity. It fuels effective collaboration among teams and families and couples. And empathy not only elevates customer satisfaction, but really delights and enhances loyalty. But so while they might say, yes, I get that, that's important, but then not really wanting to follow through with that. And so while I guess grief is just something that is very uncomfortable for many people. And so that's something that is a challenge for sure.
Yeah, just really how to present, you know, the business that you're, you know, or the solution that you're bringing forward. Is that what you're mentioning in terms of the challenge, is just how to bring that awareness and validation that it's an important skill for people to acquire?
Yeah. And you know what, they just taking the next step, like saying, I can see the value, but not really entering into that and saying, you know, here's a number of things I can offer. I can speak to your organization. Here's a book you can use, a course you can access. But those who actually courageously step into that, well, they're few.
Yeah. And obviously this kind of leans into, you know, the aspect of selling and business building, business development. So, and obviously you are an expert at helping people gain those skills to empathetically support those who are grieving and create those resources to empower people to gain the confidence. But when it comes to helping people really say yes to investing in this for their company or for their own, you know, skills? Are there any challenges that you have within that aspect of it?
Well, I think just closing the deal. I can usually get people to actually have a conversation with me about it, but then, yeah, the closing the deal and actually getting them to take action is, something that I certainly need help with.
Right. Okay. Well, I would be happy to give you some insight around that. And you're definitely not alone in terms of getting that yes. And for people to feeling that confidence and perceived value to invest in, you know, this great avenue for empowering people to know how to confidently support others in their grief. So one of the things that's so critical when it comes to helping people really see the value of making it an investment is to, first off, it's critical to have clarity around where they've experienced that sense of, gosh, I don't know what to do. This is something that isn't just a one-time deal, you know, because as part of life, there is loss. And it's not even strictly associated with maybe, you know, losing an individual, but it can happen with losing a job or a relationship. You know, there are varying levels of grief that do surface almost a daily basis, just depending on situations, but really helping people gain clarity through questions that allow them to really illuminate where their skills don't support being able to confidently deal with situations where people are grieving and what the ripple effect is on that in terms of, you know, how does that impact a friendship? Or when you are that hope hero, how does that really serve in building that relationship and supporting that person in a way that helps them to process through their pain versus just being kind of on the outside and knowing that, you know, I don't have a clue, I'm going to send flowers and hopefully that does something. And then creating that gap or that, you know, maybe a slight wedge, you know, or separation in that relationship, really helping them to understand the value of building a relationship through the opportunity to support somebody. And it's interesting because with businesses, the value of having their staff trained in ways to support those who have suffered loss. And, you know, like I was describing about, you know, my mother, when she passed, and have to reach out to, you know, providers and whatnot, to where their staff is educated on how to handle something that is out of the norm, right? And that definitely builds people's customer relation skills. So the essence of this is the real effectiveness comes into being able to help people understand where they have fallen short and what difference it would make if they had the skills to know exactly how to support somebody through, you know, a grieving situation and how that difference in that relationship really impacts not only, you know, going forward, but also in that, you know, immediate instance, and really associating, you know, the value of that, because knowledge is power, right? And if you provide the solution for them to gain that knowledge and have that clarity, allow them to really own the fact that if I know exactly how to support this person, it gives so much more meaning to that relationship. And if it's a business, obviously it retains that customer and probably builds a referral, you know, because that person will most obviously, you know, share their experience with their friends and family as to how the company dealt with that situation. So it really comes down to being able to convey the real life difference of being able to step in confidently and support somebody in a way that is effective versus having that distance and not knowing exactly what to do. And you know, the difference is quantifiable.
Well, absolutely. That's great. And, to your point about customer loyalty and retention, I'll just share a quick story about when my son died. His phone was lost, and my husband called that phone provider to cancel the plan, and the agent said, I'm sorry, but your son is going to have to phone directly to cancel it." And my husband
Good
said,
grief.
"Well,
Oh my gosh.
actually, I just explained to you he's died and he
Oh,
cannot phone you."
jeez.
And she said, "Well, that is our policy. And so I'm sorry, we're just going to have to keep charging you. It'll have to be paid." And and
Just makes me wince when I hear you talk about this. Like, oh my God, this person does not have a clue.
I know. And my husband was so exasperated that he eventually got to speak to the vice president of the company
God,
after a
you got
lot of
that
angst.
high in the company.
And instead of apologizing, the vice president said, "That woman was just doing her job.
Oh my
That is
gosh.
our
You
policy."
justified.
Yes. So you can imagine that our loyalty to that business, that company, is zero. And
Zero.
we've told people about our experience, right?
Right.
And conversely, my son and his bride were to go to on a honeymoon a month later, which they never got to do. And so my husband called the airlines and said, "Would it be possible to have this money refunded because my son has died and his bride will not be going?" And that agent kindly expressed, "I'm so sorry for your loss." She said, "I will need a death certificate to just confirm that what you're telling me is true, but I can't guarantee that we'll get the money back to you, but I will do my best." And then after a few hours, she actually called back and said to my husband, "You know what? Don't worry about sending me that death certificate. I looked online. I found your son's obituary. Again, I'm so sorry for your loss. I've talked to my supervisor. We will fully refund every dollar. And
That's
we
great.
just want you to know that we really care."
Yeah,
Well,
what a
guess
huge
what?
difference, right?
We love
Love.
that airline. And
Yeah.
we've told everybody about that airline. You need to use that airline. And so, yeah, to your point is, yes, it makes such a big
A
difference in
huge
a
difference,
business.
right? Yeah, they just don't have any understanding at the moment what they're doing to their business when something so blatantly wrong is happening, and such blatant disregard for the human element, just following procedures. And to be able to share that story obviously helps people realize, oh my gosh, you're right. This is a huge gap in people's skill set to not know how to appropriately support somebody who is going through their grieving. So, yeah. And speaking of grieving, I mean, we've just been through the pandemic, right? Which has impacted people in so many different levels. There has been death, because of the virus. There has been loss of jobs. Relationships have broken down. There has been this catalyst because of the impact of the pandemic. So I'm curious, can you speak to, the how your work has really supported people through some of these situations that have most recently come up?
Well, I would say, yeah, the pandemic has definitely heightened people's awareness of grief. Before the pandemic, I found that people were not really willing to talk about grief and loss so much. But since then, as we've all universally been grieving different kinds of losses, even loss of job, like you said, loss of relationships, just through differing views on vaccines, for example.
Right.
I mean, people have just experienced so many different kinds of losses that it seems more relevant than ever. And that is something that I'm appreciative there's a new openness for sure.
Right.
And so that has helped.
That does help, right? That it is actually becoming more in people's awareness and open to, even addressing it versus just avoiding. So, well, Shirley, how do you work with people and businesses, corporations, entities who want to finally have the skills and knowledge to fully support those who are grieving? Can you share a little about your philosophy or your approach?
Yes, for sure. Well, I encourage people, do not avoid those grieving friends, those grieving employees, those people in your neighborhood. Do not avoid them, because that feels like indifference. And so I just want to help bring confidence to people through hope-filled resources, such as my book, The Little Black Funeral Dress. It's a short book, an easy read for someone who is newly bereaved. And while, you know, offering someone flowers or is lovely, sometimes giving them something tangible that will say, you know, I don't understand your loss, but here's something I hope will be helpful. And then I have a Hope Heroes course, which is online on demand that people can go through as in a business organization with their HR or with their teams, mm-hmm. or families. You know, I have actually discovered that children can be really effective Hope Heroes. Some of my youngest Hope Heroes were like 8 and 9 years old. Mm-hmm. And I learned actually so much from them, but I also think that we need to be equipping our children to know how to navigate their loss and grief, because while anxiety is spiking in adolescence, and I think part of it, we've never really taught them how to cope and how to not just say, well, you know, it's going to be better. Let's just make some cookies, or let's distract them from the pain. But instead of just really acknowledging that, oh, that hurts. Like, how can we help our children, I think, grow into really healthy, emotionally healthy adults, so that they know how to cope with a lifelong of different losses.
Right. Yeah. Instead of the avoidance, to embrace it and know how to, you know, how to process through it. Yeah. I love that.
Exactly. So yeah, I want to just add value to people. So I do grief workshops in person, on Zoom. One-on-one coaching. So there's a variety of ways that people can access me and some of the resources.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So how can listeners learn more about all these different avenues that you're providing this support?
Well, basically going to my website, shirleytheisen.com.
Okay.
Your listeners can actually download my free guide called 8 Practical Ways to Support Your Grieving Friend with Hope.
Oh, nice.
And so that's one thing. Another thing, they can go to that same website, shirleytheisen.com. You can purchase my book there. You can purchase my course there. Also on Facebook, I'm Corner Bend Ministries on Facebook, and Instagram, I am Corner Bend Shirley.
Okay. So Facebook is Corner Bend Ministries, mm-hmm. right? Plural.
Yeah.
And Instagram is Corner Bend Shirley.
That's correct.
Okay. And then your website is shirleytheisen.com, and that's T-H-I-E-S-S-E-N. Be sure to look for the hyperlink in the show notes. And so you're offering a free gift, though, what I'm understanding, correct? Yeah. 8 practical ways to support your grieving friends.
With hope.
With hope. Okay, fantastic. And mm-hmm. so that's a free gift that our listeners can obtain through your website, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
Fantastic. And then they can also find the link to purchasing your book. Now, is the book something that a person would give to somebody who's grieving, or they would read it to understand better how to support the person?
Both. Absolutely. Oh,
okay.
Both.
Okay.
Fantastic. So in fact, I suggest to people that before you give away the book to a grieving friend, you read it yourself, mm-hmm. so that you can have a window into what it's like to be in their shoes, but right. also that you will be equipped with ideas, strategies, concepts to know, how can I support them? Mm-hmm. And so it's a both and.
Both. Okay. Fantastic. Well, Shirley, you've already, you know, shared so many golden nuggets of wisdom here and insights through our conversation. But if I could tap on you one last time, in looking at your own experience in building this business, this ministry, what's some advice that you can share with, say, a frustrated entrepreneur who's maybe questioning their decision to have started their own business, or they're doubting their ability to succeed?
Well, I know for myself, I need to daily remind myself why I'm doing this. Like, I have to remind myself, what problem am I solving and why does this matter? And for myself, I put a picture of my son. He represents really the why this isn't so important. And I look at that picture every day. So maybe for someone else, it's another image or something that they just reminds them why this is so important. And then I'll share one more idea that I got from Donald Miller, who's a business coach, but he suggests that I write an aspirational eulogy. Mm. So it kind of sounds morbid, but really every day reviewing, how do I want to be remembered at the end of my life? And then reverse engineer my purpose, why I'm doing what I'm doing. And it actually brings clarity to my decisions and my goals. And so I write not just what I think people will say, but really what I want to be remembered as. And it really is empowering. And yeah, so
it definitely changes the perspective on making every moment count.
Absolutely. Because, you know, when you've lost a child, you realize that life is fragile.
Yeah.
There is no guarantee that, you know, you're going to live to 70, 80 years old. And so I do live with a sense of urgency. Mm-hmm. And I really want to make the maximum impact every day.
Yeah, no, that is powerful. I love that. It just an instant shift in the importance of every moment. And mm-hmm. not to put pressure on every moment, but just the importance of it and the value of every moment and realizing that, you know, each moment can make a difference and nothing is being wasted, but yet to realize that, you know, this all counts, you know, mm-hmm. so it just really shifts that whole focus. So yeah, I love that. Thank you for sharing that. And, you know, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Wendy, you know, you've mentioned your mom, and I just want to say, I am so sorry for your loss. When did your mom pass away?
She passed in 2012 as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Yeah. Wow. So you and I have that in common. That was a very painful year.
Mm-hmm. It was, definitely was. And it was life-changing too. And I can't imagine what it would be like to lose a son. I can't. So I really commend you. And it's just been so powerful hearing about your journey from that tragic news that you received to this impactful work that you're now doing and this courage that you have gained and the vulnerability that you're sharing through this work that you're doing as a grief coach and the founder of Cornerbend, which is helping so many people gain the confidence and express empathy and compassion in ways that feel life-saving to the griever. So I've really enjoyed our conversation. And I just want to thank you so much for being a guest on my show today.
Oh, thank you, Wendy. I'm really honored by this time together.
Yeah. And again, for our listeners, you can reach Shirley Thiessen through her website, and that's shirleythiessen.com. As well as follow her on Facebook, that's Cornerbend Ministries, and follow her on Instagram, which is Cornerbend Shirley. And be sure to take advantage of her free gift, the 8 practical ways to support your grieving friends with hope. And that book sounds like a tremendous gift to those who are grieving, as well as a resource to really understand how to best support. So again, for all our listeners, be sure to reach out to Shirley through her website, shirleythiessen.com. And for all our listeners, remember, when it comes to building a business that brings you joy and has an endless flow of high-paying clients, well, don't overlook the power of what I call compassionate selling, where you've fully supported your potential client's decision-making process by providing them with everything they need to feel confident and excited about saying, yeah, this sounds great. So are you 100% confident that you're fully supporting your potential clients? Well, if you're curious, reach out to me and apply for a sales blind spot coaching session. You may be surprised by what we discover. All right. Well, this is Wendy Vaughn, Chief Paradigm Shifter and Sales Success Coach. And you can find me and our next podcast episode at predictablesalesresults.com. Well, thank you for tuning in to today's episode with Shirley Thiessen. And as always, here's to your success.